Aronimink Golf Club hosts the second major of the golf season.
There is the man of the moment, John Daly.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
I fly this 236 yards.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
When I'm drunk.
And Brandon Spray.
Sober? About 220.
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Let Uncle John take care of that.
Dirt and Spray on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Spray on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Hello.
What is happening?
Nice to see you. How was your Mother's Day?
Dude, it was a delightful Mother's Day, man. The weather was perfect. I felt like I checked all the boxes. All the moms that needed to be happy were happy. Time was spent. Attention was given. I felt like I executed at a pretty high level. No complaints.
I didn't see an Instagram post.
I did not do an Instagram post. No, I did not. Do I not love my mom if I don't do an Instagram post?
Well, the wife.
The wife, yes.
Where was the wife post?
I told her all day in person. I figured that would be enough for Mother's Day. The ones that always make me chuckle is the Mother's Day post to people whose moms aren't on Instagram.
I've seen people do that and their wives who are not on Instagram, and they won't see this.
What's the point of doing it?
I don't know.
They can't. They're not on that. You're just doing it for your friends to tell your mom Happy Mother's Day, which I'm all for, but why don't you tell them in person?
I find it more odd when people post for themselves about Mother's Day. Like, if you post for your mom, I kind of get it, right?
Sure.
Like, even though your mom's probably not going to see it.
She's not on Instagram. But she will not see that.
You want to post, hey, this is who's in my life and they're important. Yeah. Whatever. Do what you want to do.
You do you, boo.
It's the moms who post, like, Happy Mother's Day to me. And it's like, why don't you just ask your husband to do that?
Your husband's not going the extra leg mile? You need the Instagram post? It's not a proper Mother's Day without that?
Well, I gave my wife 3 gifts this year. It's probably more than she's ever received on Mother's Day.
Went big. You were very excited about your Mother's Day gift.
I went pretty ham on it.
You did.
Yeah, pretty good.
You wanted to hold off. The daughter said you got to hold off till Mother's Day. You can't give that thing early.
Well, actually, the gift I got her, she said hold off till her birthday.
Oh, birthday.
Which is in June. I'm like, dude, I can't.
I'm not going that far.
So she got 3 gifts this year.
That's another month away. I'm not sitting on this thing.
But I didn't post anything, and I'm like,
no, you didn't.
Are you a bad husband now if you don't post?
I was sitting around yesterday wondering, are the Sprags going through some maternal issues at home? You know, are there problems in the relationship? What's going on inside that household that we don't know about? Your fake social media life was not put up on a pedestal this weekend.
I have found more and more as every day goes by not wanting to post on social media because of how much fake crap I see.
Right.
But I'm also like in the back of my head, I think even if it was just me and her laying in a bedroom, she would say, I don't care. But I still in my head say, like, does she care?
Does she care that
does
I didn't do
the post? Does she secretly want me to post something?
I think that's something that our generation is uniquely burdened with. Like, older generations, I don't think care or think about that at all.
I don't think they do whatsoever.
But for us, that's the era of relationships that we've grown up in. It's like, when are you Facebook official? What's a big deal? When's the first time you're going to post something with your significant other to let your followers and your friends know that there's somebody new in your life? Like, we go all the way back to a MySpace top 6. That was a big deal. Who's in your top 6? So our relationships have always been intertwined with social media. I'm just not on it as much, and so it doesn't even really cross my mind. Like, my Instagram time on a daily basis is usually no more than 90-second intervals where I'll open the app.
Yeah, you're not scrolling forever.
I'll scroll for like 30 seconds and not see anything that pertains to me that's interesting, usually a bunch of advertised posts.
Yep.
Then I'll scroll back up to the top. I'll click through about 7 or 8 stories and then be like, all right, nothing here. Close it down. And I do that maybe 3 or 4 times a day. Reopen it up like, oh, okay, da-da-da. All right, that's enough. And then you close it down because there's nothing that's that interesting even on there.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're also...
But I understand the feeling. I get it. I think it's an generation thing. Like, it's just, you feel weird. You feel a little incomplete as a partner.
Did I fail here? Did I come up short? I got her 3 gifts. I thought we had a good day.
Laying awake last night wondering. I mean, it was a wonderful Mother's Day. The gifts were great.
Yeah.
But I didn't get an Instagram post
today.
Well,
so it got to the point. So yesterday, we have this full-on day. She left kind of early because she went and volunteered somewhere in Salem. Then she meets up with her parents. And then I met up with her because I went and had breakfast with my mom.
Right. Got to check all the boxes.
Checking the boxes. And so we meet up for lunch. By this point, her and my daughter have had a mini argument.
and they're hangry, so she's not in the greatest of moods.
No.
And so then we get
welcome
food.
Back, honey.
The food is very mid. Uh-oh. I was like, this food's not amazing. Mm. And then it was just kind of a weird, like, our whole big family was kind of hanging. Then it was like, should we go here and shop? And my wife's like, no, I'm leaving.
I don't want to do this.
I was like, okay, I guess we're leaving.
All right, we're going home.
So we go home. I don't know. It was just a weird. It was a very weird vibe. She didn't get good sleep because, you know, just didn't sleep very well. And so it was like a, kind of a weird vibe. But
you're tired and cranky.
Yeah, but I was also like, I kept just wondering. I didn't post anything, so I reposted a photo my sister-in-law took of like our big group.
Yeah, the whole clan.
Because Bridgeport has this big like I love mom thing that people were lining up to take photos in front of.
I was about to say, you guys went all out for Mother's Day. I saw that photo and I thought, whoa, who's springing for the I love mom and some balloon signs?
Bridgeport.
The Sprags are doing it big this year.
No.
Shout out the mommies.
Shout out the mommies. Shout out the mommies.
We need that Mendoza line, but instead of hoggies.
Shout out the hoggies.
You know, we could just do it ourselves.
We could, yeah.
You know? But so we took the photo, and I reposted it. Here's my conundrum. I'm starting to mentally wonder, should I be posting a regular post? Today marks the 14th year I've celebrated you as mother, and I love you. And I do, but I felt disingenuous posting it, but here is my ultimate problem. I wanted to repost, like, the Bravos beat the Dodgers in a series. I wanted to repost like the Braves team account. I reposted my soccer teams. They got a big draw that kept them out of relegation.
One of my 90-second intervals on Instagram yesterday was scrolling through, and there's Brandon Sprague pops up. What's his story? Oh, I'm sure this could be something lovely
is
for Mother's
soccer?
Day.
Nope.
What's it going to be? And nope, it was about your soccer team.
Well,
and then that was it. Then it just went to the next person.
And
I
then
thought,
the Hammers got VAR'd.
That's it.
Yeah, they did. They got that VAR saved us. We're out of relegation zone. So I didn't do any more sports after that. I didn't do any draft lottery posts.
No, you cut it off at that point. If you're not going to do something for the wife, you can't be posting about sports on Mother's Day. What's the matter with you?
Am I also alone in this? I've gone through my photo album. I don't take photos is also what I'm realizing. Like, I have a lot of photos. Like, most of them are photos that I probably should be deleting.
Sure. Or a lot of pictures of your kids, probably. Like, I got that. Teddy ball games all over that place. But the wife, not quite as much.
Yeah, I got photos of the kiddos. I don't bust my phone out and take photos because largely whenever I'm with people out, there is always somebody that's constantly got their phone out.
Yeah, that's taking pictures
or let's get a video. Yeah, I don't feel the obligation to bust my phone out much and use it for photographs.
Right.
So all the photos I have, I feel like I've kind of used them up with the wife.
Right.
So it's like, when
you're just recycling the same pictures. Every time you do a birthday post or an anniversary post or a Mother's Day post, you don't have a lot to choose from.
So then, like, I'm stuck in this perpetual hell of, like, now am I going to obviously be forcing photos on the day of, which is clearly going to show because she's wearing the outfit. She's going to see him like, oh, these are the photos you took, huh?
You just took a picture of me earlier today just so you could post on Instagram?
Yeah, or do I recycle or do I text people that I know that have photos?
Can you send me a picture?
Send me some of your photos. I am in a weird place with technology and stuff.
I would just say, look, I see the overall issue. It's something that I do battle with every time we go through a birthday, an anniversary, or a Mother's Day. There is that thought of like, do I need to post? Is this like a thing? Am I still doing this? Am I still at this stage of the relationship that this is necessary? Does my wife want this? Then I think back to all the times over those same similar holidays that I haven't gotten a post, and I'm like, all right, that's fine.
Your wife never posts.
She never posts anything. So it's like, why am I feeling the pressure or the need that I got to throw something up on Instagram when I'm not getting the same reciprocal thing?
Right.
We're spending the day together. We had a delightful time. I think that's what you should focus on, right? The three gifts. Mother's Day was a success in that way. Not your fault she didn't get a good night's sleep and was a little cranky and hangry. That happens to the best of us. But as long as you did your best in person, you're fine.
I think the gifts were pretty good.
What were the gifts? You want to reveal?
So the first gift was we've got our front yard dialed.
Yeah.
And then we're working on our backyard, but we needed one more thing in the front, and it was something she mentioned to my youngest in passing that my youngest remembered clutch and told me about.
That is a key assist right there.
She wanted a bird bath.
Ooh.
So it's not a very tall one. It's not very heavy, so it's movable. It's small.
That's good. You got to have one that you can pivot around depending on where you want it.
The second one is we're a pretty big smoothie family. Like, we like to make smoothies.
Yeah.
But the blender she bought is the 3-level... choppers.
Okay.
Cut up things. What are those? I'm blanking on what
it's more
called.
Of a food processor than a blender?
No, it's a blender. It's just, it's 3-level tiered. So when you make like a smoothie, say for two people, it's incredibly difficult because you gotta either take it out and put everything on the bottom below, or you leave the blades in and it just kind of awkwardly gets caught everywhere. And then it's kind of a secret pain in the ass to clean.
Damn.
So we got a magic bullet.
Hey, magic bullets are a home run.
Exactly.
Phenomenal piece of equipment.
And then her favorite musical artist did like a, just made a new album, and she, on her vinyls, on her website, she signed them. And then had T-shirts, so I bought that.
Dude, that's 3 for 3 right there.
I thought that was 3 for 3.
That's a phenomenal gift giving right there.
I thought so too.
I got no issues with that.
That's why I ultimately didn't post. I nailed the presents this year.
I'd be psyched if anybody got me any of those gifts.
I'm not even a mom. That's what I thought.
You give me an album signed by an artist I like.
I know.
Something that's functional around the kitchen that I can use, yep. Not just another thing that's going to sit in a cupboard. But
quick and easy.
Quick and easy.
Quick and easy.
Makes the process simpler.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
And then who doesn't love a good bird bath?
I mean, a bird bath's great.
I don't have a bird bath in my house right now, and I need a bird bath.
I know.
I've always had bird baths. I love bird baths.
Man.
Who doesn't love a good bird bath?
Thank you. I nailed it.
Dude, you nailed it. You hit it out of the park. We've hit the point in our relationship where gifts are off. Like, we're no new gifts anymore. we put the kibosh on.
You did no gifts yesterday.
I mean, I took her out to breakfast.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, let's go do that. And then we were walking through the neighborhood, and there was a little flower shop in the neighborhood. So I said, let's pop in and get some flowers. So we walked in and got a little vase. It's like $25. I thought, there you go. You got some flowers out of it. There's a breakfast. We spent the entire day together. We're good. We're good here, you know? All right. See you next year. That's where we cut it off right there.
Did you feel good?
I felt fantastic.
I'm perfectly happy with that.
I felt great with my performance.
There you go.
I thought that was good. I asked my mom what she wanted. It's an immediate nothing. I don't need anything.
Right.
Just give me your time. I said, I got time. I got that
all
over the place.
I'm still here.
I went and got a coffee on Saturday. That was great. She wanted to go to a bookstore. She bought Teddy Ballgame books for Mother's Day.
Bookstore.
So that was great. We walked around a bookstore and then did the same with the mother-in-law yesterday. Got him breakfast. Hey, there you go. Walked around the neighborhood a little bit. Boom. Bingo, bango, bongo.
That's called 3 for 3.
3 for 3 right there.
3 for 3. Swag, I know you were gone all week, and it's nice to have you back. Did you do anything with old mom?
Yeah, my brother had a barbecue last night. So
Dad's getting a lot of the attention right now. Mom might be getting jealous.
No, she was just glad I was home, and I got a nice hanging basket.
A good hanging basket. Yeah, it's always a clutch Mother's Day gift.
So I know they've been out trying to get their yard. They have a great backyard. Deck hole set up there, a little pond in the backyard. So they've been sprucing it up for the summer season. So, yes.
A hanging basket, that's a good gift.
Hanging basket always works.
We did those for years for the mother-in-law. That's always what we would always go out to Tony's, and they would always have like a 2 for 3 say, you know, it's like you buy two, get one free. And so you get two out of it, then you give one there, and boom, there you go.
No, she was just glad I was home for the most part.
Yeah.
Now, your parents have been divorced for some time.
They got divorced when I was in high school.
Okay, so that's been a long time.
Yeah.
1962?
Settle down.
Okay.
Not today.
What do you mean not today? Today's the best day to do it. Welcome back.
Hey, welcome back.
Welcome back, old balls. How much is your mom, and I know they've since remarried, but how much, like, has your mom been involved in this whole process? Because it's, I mean, that's a terrifying thing.
Yeah. Just, she's been more worried about my brother and I and supporting us and how are we doing and that sort of thing. And she feels, you know, she feels terrible for him, obviously. And so she's just been more, you know, staying behind the scenes. Keep me updated. I want to know
what's going on.
And if you guys need any help or support or whatever, let me know.
Pop's back yet?
No,
not yet.
We have started the process. It's called transfer of care, and it's one thing if he was going to a rehab place like locally by the hospital.
Close to it.
But when you're talking to a hospital in El Paso about moving somebody that still needs rehab and services and all that stuff back to Oregon, there's a little more paperwork and bureaucracy involved. But we found a rehab place here in the Portland area. So all of that stuff got started at the end of the week, but then the weekend came and it was Mother's Day, so the back and forth stops on the weekend.
Mm.
So at some point this week, I am expecting to say
one last trip to,
okay, I got to go down and get there. And then we've arranged for long medical transport.
What are we talking here? Are we talking a plane? Or are we talking a, like,
no,
a
no,
van?
No, he can't fly.
He's got to drive.
One of his injuries,
okay,
he can't sit up for that long.
Like a Sprinter passenger van?
Yeah, like a retrofitted big old BMW Mercedes Sprinter that's got medical equipment and all of that.
So he gets to stay in like a hospital bed situation and you get to
there, apparently there's a seat or something for a family member to go, so they understand.
Do they do one straight shot or you
they have
stop?
Multiple drivers and medical personnel. And so supposedly it's like 24, 26 hours straight through from
there. Dude, that's going to be crazy. 24 hours in a car outside of gas stops.
Straight all the way through too.
So, I mean, they stop every, you know, 4 or 5 hours for gas and, you know, go to the bathroom.
Get
and
a snag if you need to or whatever.
Thing.
I don't know the inner workings here. Might be speaking a little out of pocket. Power ranking. I think Jason's ahead of the brother right now. He's gone down multiple times. He's doing the transport right now.
Put the time and effort in, man.
So
that's a long drive. 24 hours. That was we did that for the Final Four, and that was brutal.
You were miserable when
we went all the way through. Now, we had to drive back. Thankfully, yours is a one-way drive.
It's a one-way.
You get to fly down, and then by the time that drive's over, you're done. It was more the thought of having to drive back that was the killer. On the way down, there's excitement. On the way back, they lost, and I got to be in a car for 24 hours. This is the
absolute
worst.
So you went straight down and then
straight back. Straight down, straight through.
Oh.
Had four of us in the car rotating every, 4 hours. I can't remember.
The way back has got to be depressing.
Yeah, it was terrible.
That's awful. So they got to make sure all of the stuff, all the medical equipment, everything he's going to need here at the rehab place is in place. Everything that the medical transport group needs for him. Prescriptions are all ordered. All that. It's processed.
So you're here, but there's still a lot of you that's not here. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
We're just waiting. We're waiting for the call for the bat signal to go up.
I'm expecting to be here tomorrow.
Okay.
Likely Wednesday morning to do the show. I might be bailing Wednesday after the show.
That'd be nice. So get it back in time for the weekend. Give you a day or two to get settled, and then you get back to normal routine.
Drive back Thursday, and then probably Friday I'll be totally fried and...
Yeah. Ready to relax a little bit.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Not a lot of sleep in a 24-hour car ride. That's not enjoyable.
Boy, that's a chaotic situation.
But getting him home is all that matters.
So right now, he's desperate to get out of there. We still got a lot of rehab to do. It's going to be months.
But everybody's life is so much easier with him locally.
But when he's here, then all the siblings can go and look in and check in. And the place we found is right on my way home from work, so I can drop in and...
That's perfect.
Busy little Mother's Day weekend for you, man.
Yeah.
So, I flew back late Saturday night. So, I missed the Timbers going off.
I mean, they played the worst team in soccer.
Hey, it doesn't matter.
They still scored six goals.
6-0. 6-0, baby.
6-0.
That's similar to what the Knicks did to the Sixers yesterday.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Missed the Fire first regular season game.
Yeah, the attendance record for most people ever at an expansion home opener.
Dude, I watched a little bit of that on Friday.
Yeah.
So Friday night?
No,
I think they're going to be watchable.
No, it was Saturday.
That's right, Saturday.
Saturday, we had
quad boxing on YouTube TV. It was perfect.
Yeah, we had the Timbers and the Fire and Ducks baseball all going on at the same time.
I actually watched college baseball this weekend.
Did you really?
I did, yeah. My major league team sucks. Like, really, really
bad.
So
you resorted to college baseball?
Well, I saw that they got killed. I didn't know that UCLA was so good. And then
they're number one in the country.
You think okay.
They haven't lost a Big Ten game till the Ducks got them.
Nice. That's cool. I'm glad we beat them. That's, that's fun. I'm not watching college baseball, but I did this weekend. I turned it on.
Supporting the sport? And to your credit,
come on,
you don't know.
You don't know what the record is? I have not seen a standing of college baseball all year. I'm assuming Oregon State's good.
Yeah, they swept Long Beach State this weekend.
There you go.
But they lost their best pitcher.
My program's pretty good. So, I saw that they got smoked, and then the only reason I turned it on Saturday was because I saw back-and-forth videos. They were yelling at each other.
UCLA and Oregon was scrolling
through social media, and I'm like, dude, some first base coach is hollering at a guy in our dugout. And it's on TV. All right, then I turned it on the Big Ten Network. And then it wasn't on TV yesterday. It was on Big Plus. I couldn't even watch it.
I think our basketball team's absolutely going to blow.
The Fire, that is?
The Fire.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty bad. But
I do think they'll be watchable.
Yeah.
Like, because the way they're going to play basketball is, it's just the modern wave of it. And he's got, their coach is, he's a young, whiz kid in basketball.
It was an entertaining enough game on Saturday to keep you around. I also think their record doesn't really matter this year.
Well,
they know
that. They're going for juju.
They're tanking.
They're clearly trying to be the Wizards.
Yeah, and you're going to get good support in this city because we've been desperate for it to be back. So I think it's going to be a win-win for everybody. The crowd was awesome on Saturday night.
It was great. I was jealous I didn't go. I vowed that I'd be at the home opener, and then I saw the prices, and I was like, see on TV.
Let's give it 2 weeks, all right?
All right, well, it's good to be in. Happy post-Mother's Day week, and I hope everybody posted on social media or got the the proper gift. Whatever makes your life easier is really all I'm after.
That's all that matters.
A lot to discuss, a busy little weekend in sports. We got some local stuff that happened Friday that we need to rewind and bring back. We'll talk about the draft lottery. The NBA playoffs have continued. We got one team in the conference finals, another team on the brink of it. So it's a loaded show. It's good to be with you. Dirt and Sprague, let's get it going on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Happy Monday, May the 11th. A lot to get to today. It's a busy little show. We have lost somebody locally from our organization.
Yes.
We're probably not going to replace him, though, because that costs money.
They might be hiring you. You could be up next.
I'm just going to tell you this. I don't know what you have planned today. We didn't communicate a whole lot. I'm not talking about what the Oregonian is talking about in regards to the Blazers. I'm not touching that topic. I'm so exhausted of it.
Yeah, I don't want to do it either.
So I'll just give you a spoiler there. I'm not paying any attention to that. We'll give that a few weeks and maybe a month, maybe 2 months to breathe a little bit.
See where we're at.
Before I really truly care to talk about it much on the show. But we got to start in the National Basketball Association.
The old NBA was NBA in this weekend.
I wanted to start in the Premier League. you know, Swag Spurs are probably going to get relegated. I wanted to start in baseball. My Bravos.
No. That VAR saved them. They're out of relegation. And they play Leeds today, who's the worst team in the league.
Bring it on, Leeds.
A Spurs win today.
I don't think you know what the standings are. Leeds and us stayed out of relegation. You and West Ham are in relegation battle.
I thought we weren't going to do European soccer here.
Leeds is protected.
I thought they were dead.
I've been watching it every week. You haven't been watching the season because your team sucks.
My weekend at the pitch. My nephew had a under-11 state championship soccer
game. Did they win?
They did not win.
Oh, that's too bad.
They didn't play him enough. I found myself being that guy on the sideline like, put him back in!
Leeds
scored a goal in overtime to tie the game.
Leeds is so far from the worst team in the league. That's concerning that you said that.
Uh-oh.
The Wolves have been the worst team in the league.
The Wolves were the worst team in the league. The Leeds are right above the Spurs.
Yeah.
6 points ahead. That's it.
There's only two games left.
Well, three.
You're not catching them. They're out of relegation.
Well, they just got to stay ahead of West Ham. They win today. They're 4 points up.
I literally just said that.
I don't know what
I've been watching.
Right now.
You have. This is how we know who's watching what right here. This conversation.
Are you guys speaking German right now?
Yeah, we basically are. We're speaking English.
Can we get back to?
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was making a joke. He butted in. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Okay. I just
super far behind.
Can we not talk about sports that I don't watch?
I can't believe I know more about the Premier League now. It's crazy.
I did watch the NBA playoffs this weekend though.
Thank you. Let's get back on track here. Let's focus. We need focus. Philadelphia has been swept. First team in the conference finals is the New York Knicks, and it was a bloodbath game.
Dude, it was horrible. The whole series was basically outside of game two, essentially.
What's the guy in Game of Thrones who gets captured and then gets his unit?
Cut
off.
God, that's gonna drive me nuts.
That's who Philly became in this series. They were in it. They were fighting. Then they realized they weren't as tough as the Knicks. And they just is it Theon?
Greyjoy, yes. They were the Theon Greyjoy.
Philly became
round.
Theon Greyjoy, especially in that game four. It was
one,
reek.
1, 2, 3, Cancun!
We are reek now. That's what Philadelphia became. It was so bad that take a listen to ABC6. They were on the concourse of this game. The game hadn't even ended yet. They did a live hit on the concourse in Philly, ABC Channel 6 in Philadelphia.
We're in live inside Xfinity Mobile Arena tonight, Cheyenne. This game was brutal.
This is a Mother's Day massacre. I left my mom, you know what I mean? It's been time thinking that I'm going down with the ship, but I'm going down with the ship, so I gotta make it up to mama.
Sell the team, fire Nick Nurse, everybody gone. Like Kyle Lowry, coach.
We're getting clowned. I got nothing. I think it was game six a few years ago when the Knicks beat us here and we walked out and they were chanting like this. It's worse this year.
They gotta play better defense.
Joel, and I hope he stays. I love the whole
team. They did amazing, but it's just heartbreaking. It really is.
It's a wrap.
I mean, come on. If any fan base was going to be what that woman just was of that montage of hits, that's the
us.
Portland Trailblazer fan base. I love this team.
It was so special.
They're 7th seed. Did it? Don't trade Drew. Okay.
Caleb Love's untouchable. According to that fan would tell you, can't move him. Can't move off Caleb Love.
Young Hansen, look this up in a translation. I love you.
Look how dominant he was in the G League, man. We can't give up on him yet. It's only been 1 year. Give the guy some time.
I started laughing. I'm like, dude, that is the most Blazer fan thing I've ever seen in Philadelphia in my entire life.
My 76ers Eastern Conference champion ticket died a short and swift death.
After
round one, feeling the momentum. Game 7 win in Boston. Let's see how round 2 goes. And boy, oh boy, only one game of that entire matchup was watchable. Game 2 was fun.
Series.
Game 1 sucked. Game 3 was a Friday night, and I was not watching that. I saw that they lost by 15, and then yesterday I didn't even go anywhere near it because it was the first game. It's noon on a Sunday on Mother's Day. I'm not watching that. I checked the score at halftime. They're down by 48 points. All right, see you later, Philly.
Yeah, really, minus yesterday, like last night's game, the second round, I said Friday, and nothing changed over the weekend. This second round playoff has sucked.
It's been pretty bad. The
Thunder are going to sweep the Lakers.
As we all thought they would.
They don't even need, debatably, their top two players to win these games by 20 points. That is what is beyond frustrating, is that you look up, you're watching him. There's Jalen Williams in street clothes. Oh, SGA has 4 fouls, and he's doing largely nothing.
Nothing.
Doesn't matter.
They're up by 18.
Yeah. And it's tied or they're losing at the half. And you're like,
dude McCain comes in and starts drilling threes.
Right. I have people going, who's Mitchell? Who's Mitchell? I go, yeah, that's the entire roster. It's like, who's that guy? They have an Isaiah Joe. They have a Cason Wallace. They have an A.J. Mitchell.
It's unfair,
man. Doesn't matter. Does not matter.
The Western Conference, look, we'll see how the other, because one of the other, at least we have one competitive series. I'm ready to fast forward to that point. I don't know if Detroit or Cleveland can give New York any problems, but clearly Philly was just, I mean, not having Embiid for game 2 killed them, even though that was their most competitive game of the series, but he was in and out. And then you're just, there was nothing else there. New York made how many threes yesterday? 25. 25 three-pointers in the game.
We lost that game when we did that.
We did. We set a franchise record.
They won by 30.
Blew an 18-point lead in the second half on the road, but, you know, we're heading in the right direction. It's just that it's been frustrating in the second round where nothing has really captivated me outside of one series. And I know Harden had a moment over the weekend and made a shot. And he got, you know, all right, here we go, James Harden.
Thanks for finally showing up
your first time in the postseason. That's the only other really competitive series, but I don't care at all about Detroit versus Cleveland. So we're down to one, buddy. We're down to one, and all of our eggs are in that basket.
The funny thing about him having a moment in a game 3 of the second round is, one, it's not the most pivotal game, but two, he had 10 points going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
10.
Ten.
I'm like, okay, cool. Good game.
10. Philly, talk about their offseason, man. Like, they're going to probably look internally at the coach and the GM going into the offseason.
You think they're going to fire, is it Maury? Maury the president or the GM?
He's the...
There's always, like, guys that we label GM that's actually not the general manager.
That's a good question. I don't know what his technical title is. He is the president of basketball operations for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Like, we did this in Boston for years. We'd always be like, Danny Ainge. It's like, no, actually, Danny Ainge is not technically that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think they all work together. I think there's a collaborative effort, but you're right in terms of the title.
They're spearheading everything.
I don't know if they'll fire him or not, but you're not going anywhere.
But why would you fire Nick Nurse?
I would.
Did you have a takeaway of, like, this was Nick Nurse's fault, or...
No.
The Knicks are just this much better, and Joel Embiid can't stay healthy.
Joel Embiid can't stay on the floor, and he barely played this season, and it wasn't all basketball-related injuries. It was some non-basketball-related injuries, but he's got a contract that's so big that you can't move him. I mean, you're thrilled about Edgecombe. You love Maxey and who he is as a young player.
Yeah.
But I think Paul George obviously has a shelf life. He's taken roids to stay relevant, and he had some nice moments at times in the postseason, but then he would disappear. Like, there was a game where he went off in the first quarter, and they didn't score the rest of the game. So he's had moments, but nothing in terms of a complete game. And Embiid, like, nobody's going to touch that contract this offseason because it's so massive, and the guy just can't stay healthy and on the floor. So they got an interesting offseason ahead of, Are they going to tear it all back down? Do you just lean into the youth of Maxey and Edgecombe and try and get rid of some of the contracts? I'll be curious to see where they go.
That East Finals feels a lot how I felt about Denver, New England.
Yes.
With no Bo Nix.
Yes. I mean, New York's probably going to win. They would easily be the pick right now.
Like, I don't care who they play.
Neither do I. I also, and I'm hoping that I'm wrong because I, you know, last year we didn't give Indiana much of a chance and Indiana ended up going all the way to a game seven. There's just, I don't know, I just have a hard time seeing anybody beat whoever wins the West
right now. If Detroit beats the Knicks, though, you're not going to go to the finals and think they can do this.
New York is the only team in the Eastern Conference
that can have a
give a 5% chance to steal a couple of games and at least give us an interesting series, not a...
It's that low? 5%?
It's pretty low.
Because the Knicks did win.
Not to win a couple of games, but to, like, legit have a chance to
hoist
win the series.
Banner.
Like, not, hey, that was a respectable 5 or 6 game series. Like, legitimately, can you push it all the way to the brink?
Well, let me try to entice you a little bit here.
Go ahead, Bob.
I want to remind you of something that you may or may not have forgotten because the history of the NBA certainly won't.
Yes.
You know who beat the Spurs in the in-season cup tournament?
I have no idea.
New York Knicks.
Aha!
Just saying. Aha. Spurs get past OKC.
Yeah.
Don't look past the Knicks.
I don't love their chances right now either based on the way they're playing, but you know, let's just stop Oklahoma City at all costs.
It feels like we're going to a wagon repeat. That's what it feels like.
It's pretty demoralizing. And the NBA, look, we've had this feeling at times over the last 5 to 6 years.
A parody.
And things have flipped. You know, we've had Boston, we've had Denver, we've had a number of teams that we thought, uh-oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. And then the next year it didn't happen. So you always hold out hope that that could be the case. But I got a strong inclination that that run of 7 different champions is going to come to an end. And the scariest part about it is with how young they are and their assets remaining, there's no end in sight of this. It won't last for 10 years, but there is no end in sight right now.
It may not last for 10 years, but I'll just say, like, when you watch...
Added another top 10 pick yesterday. No big deal. In a deep draft.
In a deep draft.
Let's go ahead and trade off one of our good pieces and bring on a rookie contract to keep everything under control in the books. How about that?
Who is the team in the top 10 above them? We'll get to the draft lottery. I want to talk about that today.
They're going
to
get that cat out of Michigan, are they? And he's going to be a menace. I could already
Lindeborg?
See it. I could already see it.
Who is the team willing to take Jalen Williams because they don't want to pay, like, the super luxury tax?
Mm.
So they move up in the draft and they end up getting, like, an even better player than Yaxel Lindeborg.
The 6th overall pick because they're trading one of their players away
they
don't even need.
Where is Sacramento picking? Are they 7?
They
fell. They got
tumbled.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hosed yesterday.
I think it was 7.
I think it's 7.
That sounds right.
You're telling me the Kings?
Yeah, 7th overall pick.
The Kings won't do it?
They're
just saying, like, watch OKC get a top 7 pick and Caleb Wilson will fall all the way because there'll be some stupid comment he made that, I don't know about this.
And
then they're going to get the next Tracy McGrady. And that's what's going to happen.
That was the only hopeful thing out of the weekend was at least we're not the Kings. Everything else feels pretty depressing, but at least we're not the Kings.
Well, let's get to the big thing that happened in the NBA of all the stuff because nothing else really happened that mattered much. We had an elbow to the neck and we've got a tie series. So let's talk about Wemby, Elbow, and Naz Reid on the other side. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan. Well, we had a pretty big game last night. It was on the verge of being over and getting another team on the brink of a Western Conference Finals. And maybe they'll still do it. It has certainly, to me, an air of San Antonio's still going to win this series.
Tend to agree with you.
But the reason that Minnesota was able to eventually break it out, despite not playing a good start to a third quarter, was in the second quarter, about midway point, Victor Wembanyama got a loose ball. And then he got kind of tied up a little bit between two players. But the player that was less physical with him, Naz Reid, was kind of standing just a little to his right behind him. And in the scrum of holding the rebound and not being fouled, Wemby turns, looks at Naz Reid, whips the right elbow right into the neck of Naz Reid, which tells me incredibly how tall Victor Wembanyama is.
Yes.
He didn't have to lower it, higher it. It was like straight up where his elbow was, went directly in Naz Reid's neck. Naz Reid fell down. They replayed it, and Wemby got tossed in the second quarter, a flagrant 2 foul, which he didn't know the rule.
Which is absolute BS. Absolute BS.
No, why?
How does that guy not know what a flagrant 2 does in the NBA? He studies what kind of water filter he uses to track his body, and you're telling me he doesn't understand what a flagrant 2 means in the NBA?
He's never been ejected from a game until last night.
Has he ever played in a game where somebody was ejected for a flagrant 2?
I don't think
that was an absolute moment of I royally screwed up and I'm going to play dumb on the bench.
You think he was playing dumb with Harrison Barnes?
You cannot sit here and tell me that this guy's the smartest young basketball mind on the planet and cares about every meticulous detail, but has played in the NBA for three seasons now and does not know that a flagrant two equals an ejection.
That
is absolute horse ass. I can't stand his French ass.
I know what you're going to respond with. It's about time and how long you've been. Didn't the Niners have a player admit he didn't know the overtime rule?
As they change
the Super Bowl,
literally every single season.
But in the Super Bowl?
That's not acceptable. We all criticized him for it. But it's absolutely ridiculous that they haven't changed the flagrant two rule for a while.
I just don't think he knows.
What? I got ejected? Me? What does that mean?
So you thought it was on
I just threw an elbow at a guy's chin. And they gave me a flagrant two. And I'm out of the game. What?
Well, before
absolute horse ass from Wendy.
I want to get your take on it. But before you do.
Such a bitch.
Hold on. You can
his coaches too. Fire it off.
All right. Well, let's say, is he the victim actually of throwing the elbow in Naz Reid's neck? His head coach says yes.
It's getting to a point that if the people that are in charge of controlling the game and protecting the physicality of the game don't do that, then at some point he's going to have to protect himself. We've been asking him to do that now for a while. So that call, I'm glad Naz Reid was okay and sounded like the call was warranted. But in terms of the game plan of every single team we face since that young man's been in the league, and the physicality that people try to impose on him, and the lack of protection is really disappointing. And at some level, it's starting to get actually disgusting, just in terms of when he tries to fight through things and be professional and mature and deal with some of that stuff. I'm glad he took matters into his old hands. Again, not in terms of hitting Naz Reid, but I'll be very clear about that. I'm glad Naz Reid was okay, and I didn't want him to elbow him. But he's going to have to protect himself if they're not.
You know what would be nice is protecting the other players on the floor when he goes up to block a shot and lands on top of them and folds their body in half. Is he worried about player safety in those moments? As he's flopping and flailing to the floor every 45 seconds throughout the course of a game. This long, lanky, skinny-ass legs and arms. Get out of here with this nonsense. I'm going to tell you something. I feel bad admitting this, but I'm going to say it.
You're rooting for the Thunder.
I'm going to root for the Thunder. Castle is a bitch. He complains the entire game. Like, OKC flops a lot.
What
don't
are you
going to
do if SGA flops, like, egregiously in the final seconds against Wemby? How
it's
are
unfortunate
you feel?
Because it's the real NBA Finals,
you
probably.
Hate the top two teams
it's going to be
West.
The best level of basketball in the league that they could provide all season long. But I hate both teams. Yeah. Why can't one of them be likable?
Well, okay, hold on. I've heard you've been called out on other shows for this, and right. I hear it, and I kind of go, yeah, they're not wrong. Name me a champion that you don't end up hating. You hate every team that has nice things. Indiana had the greatest story in college football history.
If they didn't beat my team on the way, it'd be a great story. But they beat my team twice on the way. I'm not going to be happy about that. No fan would be happy about that.
Never been a champion.
I'll tell you who I would have liked.
The Blazers.
The Pacers, if they would have won last year. I got no beef with the Pacers. Did you see Kevin Pritchard's tweets this weekend?
Oh, I'm going to get to it.
What a novel organization of being honest and open and upfront, even when things don't go your way.
I don't know if I'm feeling that way
go,
still.
Go, Pacers, go. I would have been happy with that
I don't know if you would have.
I would have had no issue.
And I think it's easy to say after they lost.
You know who I didn't hate? The Cavs when they won with LeBron James. I was psyched about that NBA championship.
That's because you hated the Warriors.
Nah,
you hate Draymond Green.
I was rooting for LeBron. Yeah. He went home. He's coming home.
LeBron would have went back to back. He'd be like, this is bull crap. Why is him and Kyrie get to keep being a thing? You are a instant hater of everything.
I am, but don't act like Victor Wembanyama isn't a bitch. Well, okay, like both points can be true here. I do hate everybody that wins and has nice things that I don't have. That is 100% spot on.
Yeah.
You cannot, though, then spin that conversation and argument and say, but actually the Spurs are really likable.
So here's my thing. I find it interesting. I don't know about calling Victor Wembanyama a bitch per se. I more would just say I think it's interesting that like he gets away with a lot of physicality that I view as like, oh my God, that would end my career if I was out there my size.
Yes.
And then something happens to him and it's like, this was egregious. I'm more curious about Mitch Johnson's comments of like, you know, I don't want him to do it to Naz what he did.
I'm glad he did it, but he
should. But I'm glad he did it.
But
he needs to defend himself. But I don't want him to elbow people in the neck, but he needs to defend himself.
Like how many times did he land on top of a Blazer after trying to block a shot and they did not call a foul?
He opened the series on Denny, falling on Denny.
Play. I thought he snapped Shaden Sharp in half. I thought his career was over.
Yeah.
He's now two people.
I know.
Legs and arms.
Man.
He's got a torso chopped off at the waist.
So he's going to – I don't think he'll be fined. I don't think he'll be suspended. He just got ejected.
That was a pretty bad. I mean, that one in That's terms of like,
isn't there an automatic fine that goes along with an ejection?
You think he'll get a fine?
Yes,
I think there's an automatic fine. Like if you get a flagrant two, there's like a $7,500
like
fine.
He looked at his target and then swung. There's elbows that you see that are inadvertent all the time. Where you're just kind of fighting in a scrum.
Yeah, you're in a scrum. There's somebody behind you, and you pivot and swing. You don't see him,
dude. He went eyes on the target.
Eyes on target.
Right to the throat of Nasreed.
Did you see the?
Tony is his skinny ass elbow too. It's probably like a razor blade.
You know that hurts.
Yes,
dude. I thought he got him in the jaw at first, and I was like, "Oh my lord!"
The Adam's apple.
Now, did you see people on social media have done the zoom in on Dylan Harper? Dylan Harper is
immediately
at the top of the
behind
three-point
him,
line, and he just has like the wide eyed. His mouth is making like an O, and he's like, "Oh, like oh my god, I can't believe you did that to somebody."
Even his own teammate knew he was about to get tossed.
I think his whole team, like, he dabbed him all up before he left, and like, you know, tried to encourage him, whatnot. I think his whole team was kind of like, "Yeah, dude, get out of here."
Yeah, that was like, "Come on, man,
you're crossing the line."
It's game four.
I thought
four.
You were Shaolin Monk.
You
know who's not elbowing Nas Reed in the neck?
Monk.
A Shaolin
monks making
monks.
Cheese.
Right. How do you hang out with monks and your answer to like being bodied a little bit is I'm going to look at you and I'm going to throw my entire elbow bone right into the side of your neck.
What if he would have broke his jaw? I mean, it's game four of the series. You got a 2-1 series lead. You're in total control and they're being physical with you. Guess what? It's the NBA playoffs. That's how things work.
That's how they're going to play him his whole career.
Yes.
That's the only answer to
He's
that.
He's skinny, so you put a bigger body guy on him and say, go beat him up a little bit. That's the only anecdote to Victor Wembanyama.
You know who didn't complain about that? Michael.
No.
Michael got in the gym, and he
right.
went against Detroit,
that's
and he
right.
came back.
That's why he's the GOAT.
And that's why Wemby will never be the
and
GOAT.
And he just shoved guys off of him to shoot wide open.
Welcome back to First Take.
Thanks. It's nice to be back. I'm Skip Bayless. I tried to pay a woman to have sex with me.
LeBron
moved on from that.
LeBron's only the ninth best player of all time. Top eight, ridiculous. Get out of here. He's no Kobe.
Now, that's Magnon Russo's territory.
Didn't have killer instinct.
I got to have George Mikan. You don't know what Mikan meant. Like, okay, Chris.
All right.
LeBron behind George Mikan. We get it.
Yeah, it
You're
sucks.
Right.
I'm rooting like hell for Minnesota. I'm glad that they won. I just, even
hopeless.
In that game, like, you had Ant go off in the fourth quarter. You had Wemby get ejected in the second quarter, and it still felt like a miracle that they won the game.
It's kind of odd. Like,
although, also, who was he going to talk to in the postgame interview?
So
you
I was
going to
bring
that
up.
Okay.
Yeah, he literally was being interviewed, and he stopped the postgame interview.
Hold on a second.
She asks him the question, puts the mic, and he goes, hold on a second. I'll be right back. He walks away. The cameras are now like, follow Ant. Ant walks over to the crowd, does the call me sign, and everybody, because if you know Ant Edwards' off-court story.
Yes.
He's clearly talking to a lady.
Hey, what are you doing?
Contact me, is what he said.
All right, we're about to get on a bird and go back to San Antonio.
And then she does the post-game interview.
Do they do, is it 2-2-1-1-1?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going back to San Antonio.
We'll be back in Minnesota
five,
for game six.
For game six, yeah.
So
hopefully it keeps going. I don't have a lot of hope, but I'm
just give me a long series.
It's the only series that I'm mildly interested in the second round.
I'm with you on
and
that.
And that spiced
one.
Things up a little bit yesterday.
So Wemby ejected. Dirt hates Wemby now. Hates the San Antonio Spurs. And we'll probably find a way to hate every other remaining team left in the NBA playoffs. A loaded second hour. We had some local news pop off Friday. And the NBA draft lottery over the weekend. Dirt and Sprague, hour number two on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan.